And remember last week I talked about rejoicing, because Paul and just about everywhere, in fact, the psalm, you have a look through the Psalms, you will see how, and in my translation, the number of times it says, I will be glad in the Lord, I will rejoice, I will be glad. Glad comes a lot in my translation. That's rejoicing. That's full of joy. And I remember I shared that if we're going through tough stuff, which all of us do at various stages, and it sometimes for some of us it just keeps going on and on and on. When you're going through stuff, tough stuff, the thing that we can always be joyful in is our salvation, because it's worth being joyful about, because there's joy inherent in it. Remember I said that it's the most precious gift in the universe. The most precious gift in the universe is Christ in us, is that salvation that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's the most precious gift. There's nothing in the universe more valuable than that, and you and I have it. That's worth rejoicing over, in spite of what happens around us. Because that gift stays with us, even if our world here is falling apart, we still have that. And it's our retreat place. It's our place to go and say, Lord, you have saved me. And this brings on to the topic I want to talk about this morning, is thankful. I'm missing out the pray continuously, because I'm going to come back to that later, because they all connect, the three things. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. They all tie together. They all feed each other. And the prayer without ceasing, I want to make that a separate message like I'm making this one. But giving thanks for that salvation is what releases the joy of that salvation. Oh, maybe it's, yeah, here we go. 16. Can we just nail these verses? Can we just put those verses up at all? Is that possible? Don't worry about it. If you can't, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. We can go to our, we can retreat into our hearts, into ourselves, into that place that we can retreat to this place. That is always there. That never gets taken away. We can retreat to this place and say, thank you, Jesus, for the love that you have for me, for your salvation, that forever I am in your presence. This world is not all there is. I will always be with you because you love me, because you gave me your life. Right now I'm surrounded by your love and peace. We can... 18, we've got verse 18 as well. Sorry. Well done, guys. I didn't warn them about this. We can always be thankful for that. That's so thankfulness. Read your soul, pray with that, give thanks in all circumstances. That's another one of those things that you don't always feel like being thankful, do you? You know, we don't always feel like that being thankful for things. I'm not very thankful for some things that have happened to me at all. But that's what we're called to do. Rejoice or pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, the interesting thing, there are other texts about that Paul writes. And he actually connects it with prayer, but I won't go into that. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So he's connected it with prayer there, but with thanksgiving. And let the peace of Christ, Colossians 3:15-16, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We can always be thankful for our friends. We can always be thankful for our salvation. Of course, that's the greatest thing. I must perform my vows to you, O Lord, and render thank offerings to you. Isaiah 56, verse 12. A thankful heart produces and sustains a joyful one. For, Be thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances. Well, a very difficult thing to do sometimes. But note that it says in all circumstances, not necessarily for all circumstances. Now, there is a passage, in, and I think Ephesians 5, verse 20, where Paul says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, and for everything. And yet this one, he says, give thanks in everything, in circumstances. So I looked up the word, and I'm not a Greek scholar. We'll probably have to get Costas to go home and read this passage and come back to us and tell this is what it really means. But the word for there, give thanks always and for everything, seemed to me to have the sense of being, it said over and above. So I took my cue from looking at the other verses on thanksgiving, that he's saying that over and above all these things, be thankful. So I'm assuming he's not meaning for. You see, my mum died of cancer. Bit of testimony here. When, and I won't go into too much detail because I'll probably get all emotional. But I came to the Lord. I came to know the Lord in the midst of my mother being sick and dying of cancer. You've heard this testimony before, you know, haven't you? You've heard me share this before. I don't want to go into the full testimony. And in the midst of it, and I always believed in a God who was full of love, joy, peace, and power. I always believed in a creator, should I say of that. So when I finally met this creator and finally met Jesus and this powerful, powerful transformation, literally the old experience for me, I think it was about 26 or 27, I can't remember how old I was now, when I got saved. It was my life totally changed, totally just 180 degree turnaround, total change. Believing in a God that could heal cancer, that could just deal to cancer, because if he can set the planets in space, you know, he could heal things. I always believed that, even as a non-Christian. I believed in a God or a being who could do that. That made sense to me. Just perfectly logical. If there is one, he can do that, or it can do that. Anyway, so here I am in this quandary. My mum is getting worse and worse and worse, and I know that he can heal her. Wasn't sure he would heal me if I prayed, but I know he can. I just didn't know what conditions in that. And so I'm stuck with this, my mum getting worse and worse. And one morning, I don't know if I told you this, one time I got really, really angry with him about it. Really angry of it, and in the midst, I'm telling him off, and in the midst of that, a revelation about his heart and how he felt about the situation hit me out of the blue, and I knew it was him because I certainly wasn't feeling this, and it blew me away. Now, I can look back at that situation and that whole circumstance, and I can be thankful that in that situation, I met Jesus. In that situation, I discovered something about the heart of God that I never would have known any other way. I don't understand it, but I've discovered it. I still can't reconcile the bits, but I know that's his heart. Well, what I can't reconcile is I don't know why she wasn't healed. But I do know that the thing he showed me, that he grieved over what was happening to her deeply. And that was the hand. I can look back and I say, God, I would never have known that about you had I not been in that situation. Am I thanking him for it? No, I'm thanking him for the revelation that I received in it. I can thank God for things in that circumstance. There are things that we can thank the Lord for in all of those things that happen around our lives. Now, I think sometimes there are difficult circumstances that God brings across our path just because he's trying to get our attention. I don't believe sickness is one of them. Just mark on that. I do not believe God sends afflictions of illness and sickness upon us to get our attention. Why would it? You know, we do it ourselves. You know, if someone smokes 20 cigarettes, you know, a day and then gets lung cancer, they hardly blame God for it. Do you know what I mean? Which people do. But, you know, but I don't believe sickness, it's part of the whole condition of our fallen world that we brought, as human beings, brought upon ourselves. He does not give sickness to people because he doesn't have it to give it, as Bill Johnson says. He can only give you can only give someone what you've got. God doesn't have sickness, so he can't give it to people. That makes sense to me. So I don't believe sickness. I don't believe that the cancer that my mum had was from God at all. But I learnt things in it. There's always things in the midst of those things that we can be thankful for. Because God can, and one of the things that we can in advance say, Lord, I thank you that you are able to turn every situation into good. You're able to bring something good out of it. You are able to change it. God, because of God's power and sovereignty, not that he's the sovereign king who rules us like robots, but his sovereignty is such that we can, it's like, we can, he can give, take any hand that's dealt him, any hand, the crummiest, dirtiest, most useless situation, and he can take it and turn it into something good. In fact, he does it so well that we often think, go back and look and think, did you intend that in the first place? The answer very often is, no, I didn't, but that's what I can do. Even if we make the biggest muck up, God can take it and turn it into something wonderful, because that's our God. That's his sovereignty at work. That's his power at work. And we can be thankful in advance. Lord, I don't understand this situation, but Lord, I'm trusting you to turn something into good, to make something good of it. And I thank you in advance for what's going to happen. See, being thankful is the thing that restores in us, it takes our focus off the situation and focuses us on the Lord. And trust begins to rise. You see, the whole foundation of being able to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances requires trust in the goodness of God. It does require trust. And if we don't trust his goodness, then it will be very difficult to thank him to do something in every situation. Does that make sense? But it is possible to do that. Psalm 50 verse 23, it reads, don't worry about it, it reads, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving, I will honor him. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving, I will honor him. So we can actually sometimes give thanksgiving just because you know it's something that we need to do and it's a sacrifice. Why is it a sacrifice? Because we don't feel like doing it. Sometimes it's just a flat-out faith step to say, Lord, I thank you. I don't understand what's going on. That's why knowing that you're saved, going back to the foundation of our faith, I don't understand what's going on. I don't have a clue. This is a disaster to me. But I'm thanking you anyway because I know that you are with me or because I know something. It's a sacrifice. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, there was an offering. You offered thanksgivings. But it took something. You actually took it and you were never going to see it again. It got burnt up or it got destroyed so that you never got to. It just was. And it was like chucking stuff into the wind and just letting it blow off, blow away and disappear. So a thanksgiving offering. The Lord says, if you bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving to me, you honor me. And then he says in 1 Samuel 2 verse 20, whoever honors me, I will honor him. So when we bring thanksgiving to the Lord, especially when it's hard, he honors us for that. He honors us for that because he knows we're bringing to him the only real gift we can. And that's our trust. That is our trust. And so if we come to the Lord and our situation is really, really difficult, really, and there's every reason in our hearts to say, God, you suck, but we still turn a thanksgiving into it, that to him says, I will honor you because your child is saying to you, well, I don't like what's going on, but I thank you for blah, 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 and I'm still going to thank you that you love me. I'm still going to thank you in this situation. You know that person is laying their lives before you. It's a surrender. It's a surrender. Trust ultimately is a surrender. It means we're yielding our lives to whatever God has in store and trusting him for the outcome. And thanksgiving, a sacrifice of thanksgiving above all things, releases that. And God honors us for it. He does not despise that. and he will bring to pass something. He will bring to pass what he promises. He will turn it into good. He will bring good out of it for those who love him, called according to his purposes. All right. Interesting, when you go online and have a look, there was a fairly heavy bit of an introduction, wasn't it? That was just the introduction. Now, I thought we'd have some bit of fun here. There's and then I'll just go through this and show a video to you, to us, because I see it's quite late by the time I got it going, but that's fine. You go online and look up things about Thanksgiving, and I found this thing, 31 benefits of gratitude you didn't know about. 31. How gratitude can change your life. This is by some bloke. Do you want more from your life? More happiness, better health, deeper relationships, increased productivity. What if I told you just one thing can help you in all those areas? This is not a Christian thing. This is not a Christian thing. An attitude of gratitude. And then he writes this. What the heck? Gratitude? Oh, it's got a question mark. What the heck? Gratitude? Is this a Christian blog? I mean, he writes this on his thing, on his book. Is this a Christian blog? So isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Talking about gratitude, he's thinking, Christians, that's cool. Is that good? I thought, yeah, come on. And he says, no, I'm not even religious. When I first started looking into gratitude, I wasn't expecting much. I was wrong. So, you know, people do scientific studies about it, all sorts of things. So this is fun. He made this graph. I'll go through this real quick. This is cool. Seriously, all that? Yes! Isn't that amazing? The list of benefits was compiled by aggregating the results of more than 40 research studies on gratitude. 40 research studies. So, you ready for a ride? Let's rip through this. Number one, gratitude makes us happier. A 5-minute-a-day gratitude journal can increase your long-term well-being by more than 10%. 3 studies have shown that. Isn't that amazing? A gratitude journal. I'm starting one because I have a little journal. I'm not brilliant at it. Who's good at journaling? He waved at me. Are you good at I'm in similar company. You know, some people just are just maniacs at it. You know, journal everything. I don't get you at all. So it's a discipline for me. I have to discipline. I have a book where I write thanksgivings for every prayer that God has answered for me. And I kind of go up and down like this. You know, I'll have fits and, you know, I have a great time and then I just don't do it for a while. But I thought, well, why wait for prayers answered? I'm just going to every day just write thanks for something. There'll always be something. I can always thank the Lord for my amazing wife. I can always thank the Lord for my lovely kids. I can always thank the Lord I at least have a roof over my head. And when we see the video later, you'll realize that there's a lot more than we realize that to thank God for. Got an amazing video to show later. Anyway, but this was fun. So I thought, blow, I'm going to start writing a journal. And, I mean, you can ask me in 2 weeks' time, I'll probably have missed most of the days. But never mind. I'm going to have a crack at it. So that's fun, isn't it? How can a free 5-minute activity compare? Gratitude improves. Oh, anyway, he goes on. Gratitude makes people like us. Well, duh. That's pretty obvious. You're going to thank someone for something, they're going to like you, aren't they? Thank you for doing that for me. Oh, yeah, no, not a problem. Instead of just being grumpy and whatever, go thank someone. It's amazing. Make people like us. Gratitude makes us healthier. All right, isn't that that's crazy, isn't it? I've got a little graph here. Keeping a gratitude journal causes participants to report 16% fewer physical symptoms. The study was counting blessings versus burdens. Interesting the phrasing, counting blessings. Remember the old evangelical saying, count your blessings one by one. Is there more to it than that? That's right, and it will surprise you. Who knows that? Count your blessings one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. So just get praise God, you know. Anyway, 90% more time spent exercising, 10% less physical pain, 8% more sleep, 25% increased sleep quality. Keep me a gratitude journal, isn't it? Who studies this stuff? But they've done a study on it. Emotions of appreciation and gratitude shown to induce the relaxation response. That was called a grateful heart study. A gratitude visit reduced depressive symptoms by 35% for several weeks. A gratitude journal lowered depressive symptoms by 30% for as long as the practice was continued. Isn't that amazing? 30%. I don't know how they measured it, but you know, it's got it here. They've got even listed the stuff. You can go and look it up. I'll rip through the rest, but I thought these little things were fun. Patients with hypertension were instructed to count their blessings once a week. And they probably don't even know the Lord, but count your blessings anyway, once a week. What's a blessing to someone who's not a Christian? I don't know what that is. Anyway, there was a significant decrease in their systolic blood pressure. Oh, God, just blood pressure. Just forget the systolic thing. People with blood pressure, you'll know what that is. I should know what it is, but I can't remember now. Gratitude correlated with improved sleep quality. Less time required to fall asleep, increased sleep duration. That was gratitude influences sleep, blah, 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 blah. Levels of gratitude significantly correlated with vitality and energy. Gratitude makes us healthier. Isn't that amazing? That's cool, isn't it? Yeah. Number four, gratitude boosts our career. I'm not going to go into that one. Number five, gratitude strengthens our emotions. Gratitude develops our personality. Isn't that amazing? Gratitude, become more optimistic, less materialistic, more spiritual, less self-centered, more self-esteem. I don't know what things are up there. If you do the math, it comes to whatever that does. It does come to 31, so he's added more in here. Develops our personality. Well, now we're on to personality. Oh, we're down there. Okay, I've said that. Gratitude makes us more optimistic. Gratitude is strongly correlated with optimism. Gratitude reduces materialism. Why? Because we suddenly feeling good about situations and stuff. We suddenly don't need stuff to make us feel better. Reduces materialism. Isn't that crazy? Obvious, but gratitude increases spiritualism. Now, spiritual transcendence is highly correlated with feelings of gratitude. That is, the more spiritual you are, the more likely you are to be grateful. There is two reasons. I'm just reading that because this is interesting. Number one, all major religions espouse gratitude as a virtue. Is it? Spirituality spontaneously gives rise to grateful behavior, but I think it also works in reverse. You start being thankful, something happens in us, in our hearts, and we become aware of the kind of the spiritual things, the stuff that you can't touch with your hands. Fascinating. Gratitude makes us less self-centered. Well, that's obvious. These are not rocket science things, but, you know, gratitude increases self-esteem, health. Gratitude improves your sleep. Gratitude keeps you away from the doctor. If you live somewhere else, you would have to pay for it, so this would work. Gratitude lets you live longer. Gratitude increases your energy levels. Gratitude makes you more likely to exercise. I think I read some of these. Emotional, gratitude helps us bounce back. Gratitude makes us feel good. Number 18. 19, gratitude makes our memories happier. Isn't this amazing? If I keep going, gratitude reduces feelings of envy. That's a good one to have. How many of us are envious of what other people have got? Just be thankful for what you have. Like Paul said, I'm content. Be thankful for stuff. Gratitude helps us relax. Social, gratitude makes you friendlier. Well, it's not rocket science, is it? 23, gratitude helps your marriage. For those of us who are married, gratitude makes you look good. I should read that a bit more. That'll help me. Oh, no. Ingratitude is universally regarded with contempt. Gratitude helps you make friends. Gratitude deepens friendships. That's kind of similar, isn't it? Career. Gratitude makes you a more effective manager. I need to read that one. Gratitude helps you network. Gratitude increases your goal achievement. Gratitude improves your decision making. Gratitude increases your productivity. We've got to the end of it. All that stuff. Of course, I've got the thing in here. Makes us happier. Makes us happier. The fruits of gratitude. You know, that any biblical injunctive, all of those things are probably thinking, oh, I think I should do this more often. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Come on in. Let me just go through this. Enemies to being joyful and being thankful. Let's go very quickly. Taking every thought, complaining, discontent, continually trying to figure out where, what, introspection. They are things that will cause us not to be thankful, not to be joyful. They will fight with that. When those things are coming up, that's called, you know, when Paul says, take every thought captive. We have to take those thoughts. It's a choice. It's always, I choose to be thankful. Comparing yourself with others is another thing that kills our gratitude, kills our joy. We get into self-effort. We're seeking God's approval for what we've done, looking for man's approval. Steal joy. Here's a test to know whether we're a thankful person. Can we be thankful for someone else's success when we wanted that success? That's when you know the supernatural is normal for us. Can we be thankful when someone else gets that elevation above you when you wanted it? Can we be thankful? It's a choice. But when you make the choice, God honors it, and so His Spirit comes and His peace and His love comes. False expectations about ourselves, from other people, from others, past or present. False expectations that we're trying to reach to, but they're not what God intends for us. They will steal our ability to be thankful. They will steal our joy. Fear, worry, anxiety over outcomes, whatever is happening. Remember that passage in Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18? He goes on, you know, if the fig tree doesn't blossom, if this happens in the ground still, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. We can still be joyful. We can, in God, be thankful. So they're just, I've gone through those real quick, just things. When those things are about, they will become hard for us. They are stumbling blocks to living in this life. Now, I've got a video I want to show. Now, this is going to be heavy. I just warn you beforehand. Not heavy in it. It's going to be mind-blowing. Who has heard of Nick Vujicic? Wave at me if you've heard of Nick Vujicic, the guy with no arms. Oh, well, you'll be. This won't be such a shock to you. I've got this video, and then I've got a quote from him, and then we will end it. So, can I have that video now? It jumps into it fairly quick. It's coming. It does jump. It's cut down from a shorter. From a longer thing. Oh, is it not coming up? Eh? Ah. Never mind. Who knows Nick? Go again. All right. Nick Vujicic is a guy who was born with no arms and no legs, and just tiny little stumps for feet. I mean, he's got probably just a toe and that on one side. I don't know what he's got on his right-hand side. Oh, yep, that's it. Cool.
Australia, without arms or legs, 30-year-old Nick Vujicic has become a symbol of triumph against all odds. His inspiring YouTube videos have been watched over 100 million times.
It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
But the road to self-acceptance was excruciating for Nick. For years, he was harassed and tormented at school. When he was 10, Nick attempted suicide. After years of feeling worthless and alone, Nick's awakening came while reading an article about a disabled man who refused to let physical limitations hold him back. In that moment, Nick says he discovered the power to take control of his life, and he has. Today, Nick surfs, he snorkels, he golfs, and plays soccer. He's traveled to 44 countries with his message of hope.
Even the worst part of your life can come together for the good.
And less than a year ago, Nick married the love of his life and danced at their wedding.
That you were able to do that.
Oprah, I know that you love to think out of the box and have things outside of the box in your show. Yeah. And I know that you love illustration. So if I may illustrate in about 180 seconds, can I do something a little crazy, but it'll
Certainly.
Be powerful?
Go
Is that
right
cool?
Ahead.
You got a camera behind me, right?
Yeah.
I got to show you. Come. This step right here, is there enough light here? The chemistry. I was born without arms and legs. The chemistry I could not change in my life. I know that God didn't give me this pain, but what the enemy tried to use for bad, he turned into good. Yeah. Man, the connections. I want to tell Porsche. Look, I'm a guy, I love cars, okay? And I love Porsches more than Ferraris, okay? and I want everyone to know that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Yeah. And until you can actually understand that we are all wonderfully and fearfully made from God, I want you to know that you will always be trapped and chained and you will be stopped. But when you have the incredible power of faith in action, nothing holds you back. And you're beautiful just the way that you are. No worries. For me, I felt the connection. Yeah. For me in my life, I'm thinking, man, I'm not going to get married. I can't even hold my wife's hand. What connection am I going to have? But you know what? All things come together for the good for those who love him. Man, this is a little bit high. I'm going to break my arm, man. This is pretty crazy. All right.
I'm going to break my arm.
Circumstances. Being born without arms and legs, man, it's all about choice. You asked me what it was. I had parents who were my heroes. They always said, you can either be angry for what you don't have or be thankful for what you do have. Yeah. Do your best and God will do the rest. Woo! Then consciousness. Because I gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the renewing of my mind.
Hallelujah.
Wow. I knew that I could be unstoppable.
Is that amazing? You can be angry for what you don't have or thankful for what you do. What in the world did he have to be thankful for? But he met Jesus and suddenly everything changed. He was thankful. He made the connect as the quote, oh, and this is Nick. Nick says this, I never met a bitter person who was thankful or a thankful person who was bitter. Who has a right to say that? Nick does. I look at that and I think, come on, Ian, get your life together. Stop stuffing around. What have you whinge and complain at times about things? Look at that. Being thankful. No wonder Paul said, look, just be thankful. Look at what you do have. In every situation, I'm sure if we stop, there's something to be thankful for. Even if it's just our salvation, even if it's just knowing Jesus, we can thank. And once you start, other things flow. And being thankful initiates, we get the Spirit of God flows, we begin to trust in him flows, trust in other people flows. We begin, it lifts our hope, it lifts our hope, it lifts our eyes to see that maybe there is some more. And that for me is the greatest expression of being thankful, what thankfulness can do. He said that, didn't he? You can be, his parents said him, you can be whinge about what you haven't got or thankful for what you have. It's a choice. It's always down to choice. Not saying it's easy to make that choice. Please don't hear me say that. This is easy. It's not always easy. But it still is a choice. And the Spirit of God is there to help us. We can ask him, Lord, I don't like the situation I'm in, but I want to be thankful. Please help me, show me. And he will. He will, because he's made us to be thankful people. He's made us to be joyful people. The pain we feel we were not designed for, the pain we feel, the suffering that we go through in this world was not his intention. But the blessing he has made us to carry was, and he can still reach us in that because he is powerful, because he's good, and because he wants us to live, have the life that overcomes everything. And that life is what's in here, not what we find out there. Because all life from God flows in, into us, and flows out of us. All right, we'll just stop it there. Time to stop. Why don't we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've given us. We thank you for the life that you have poured into our hearts. We thank you for the life that you have given us in Christ Jesus. We thank you that you so loved us that you gave your Son to us that we might live forever. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us that we don't know and the things that we do know. Spirit of God, I pray for all of us that you would lift up our eyes and keep them fixed upon you, to keep them fixed in the heavenly realms, not to have our eyes distracted by what's not happening, but have our eyes focused upon you who lives in the heavenly places and who is sovereign over all. And we bless you, bless you, bless you. Lord, we just pray, release a blessing upon every single person here this morning. And Lord, let us be a blessing to others that we meet this week. And we'll be a blessing and share that blessing with others. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you.